You're listening to Mind Over Motherhood.
Welcome to the Mind Over Motherhood podcast, your new favorite show for all things mindset, motherhood, and mental health. I'm your host, Dr. Curly Crew, a mom of twin girls, modern-day nomad, and MD psychotherapist specializing in women's mental health. I believe that life is full of challenges that can hold you back from being the best version of yourself and living your most incredible life. Your mind shouldn't be one of those things. So listen in each week as I share practical tips and expert strategies to help you manage your mindset, improve your mental health, and be the woman and mother you've always known you could be. So grab a cup of something delicious and let's dive in. Welcome back to Mind Over Motherhood. I am very excited for this week's episode of the podcast. I'm going to be diving into some of the most common signs that I see in women who might need medication for their mood disorder. Now, in my clinic, Unoya Medical, and in my family practice, I see a lot of women with mental health concerns. Obviously, that's what our clinic is for. And I specifically see many, many women with anxiety. Now, when you have any kind of mental illness, if you have anxiety or depression, it's very common that, you know, medications have been on your mind. You know, many women will probably circle around the decision of, do I need meds? How do I know if I need meds? What if I need meds and I don't know? All of these different kinds of questions. And so I thought that it would be very helpful for me to review some of the signs that you may benefit from mood medications for your mood disorder. Now, of course, this podcast is not intended to replace a personalized consultation with a qualified healthcare provider or mental health professional to really do a thorough assessment of your situation and a discussion of your values and your life and your goals in therapy and treatment. It's not intended to replace all of those things, but what I'm hoping to provide in this episode is just some guidance, maybe some signposts that if you see these things in your life or these characteristics apply to your experience of mental illness or anxiety, that it might be something that just kind of encourages you to consider medication as something that may be part of your treatment puzzle. Now, in next week's episode, I'm going to dive into some of the most common myths or misunderstandings that I see in women when they talk to me about medications, some of the most common fears that women have, and I'm going to help break those things down too. By no means do I mean to convince everyone that medications are necessary. And in fact, in my practice, I would say that the majority of women probably actually don't need medications. But I do see this episode as an opportunity to just give you some insight, some of my perspective in what characteristics of someone's anxiety would maybe benefit from medication, right? Because when you're living in your own experience and you don't have the perspective of seeing many, many other women like I do who have a variety of illnesses in varying degrees of severity, it can be really hard to know where you fall in the spectrum of disease, right? It can be, you could be living with very severe mental illness and actually have no idea that it's as bad as it is and that medications could be very effective for you. Now, obviously, like I stated before, you're going to need more than a podcast episode to decide whether medications are right for you. And there is a whole host of things that needs to be reviewed with you when you do start medication. But I hope to just in this episode, give you an idea of some of the things, again, that I see in women that I think are signs to me that maybe medication would be a good option for them to consider, right? By no means am I saying that if you have any of these characteristics or even all of these characteristics that you 100% should be on medication. Deciding to take medication is a very personalized decision and should be done in conjunction with someone who can hear your values and your priorities and your goals, as well as know your other medical conditions. Because of course, any medication has pros and cons, and there's drug interactions and risks and side effects that all need to be reviewed with a patient individually with their provider. Okay. So after a little intro, I wanted to talk about, you know, what kind of medications specifically am I talking about? Now, if you are new to, you know, the mental health space, or maybe you have never explored medications before, one of the most common and usually the first line medications that we would recommend using in someone with anxiety disorder, like generalized anxiety disorder, panic disorder, social anxiety disorder, or even depression, right? Which is more of the low mood and low motivation, low energy kind of feelings, we are typically starting with a medication class known as the selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. Okay. This is not the only class of medication, but they are the first line typically in most people. And after those categories, there's other ones. So there's the serotonin norepinephrine reuptake inhibitors, which are SNRIs. There's also NDRIs, norepinephrine and dopamine, as well as a variety of other anxiolytic medications. So things like benzodiazepines, like Ativan or clonazepam. There's also things like atypical antipsychotics like Abilify and Seroquel. So a whole host of medications. Okay. And in this podcast, by no means am I saying that one particular class is for everyone. Again, this takes you, you know, going to a provider or maybe coming and meeting with us in Unoya Medical, if that works for you, and really having a good discussion about what might be the best medication for you if it is something that you're considering. Okay. And again, medications are very scary for a lot of people, and I totally understand that. So my purpose with this podcast is to just bring you some more information. I think when we have information and we can feel more empowered and we know things that, you know, are clear and accurate, we can make better decisions for ourselves and feel more confident in the decisions that we make. Okay. So as in all other health conditions, of course, it's very important to weigh the pros and cons of any medication that you're starting, right? No medication is completely without risk, as well as not treating medical illness is not also without risk, right? There are risks to not treating a severe mental illness as well. So absolutely needs to be a very individualized discussion with your provider. Okay. So what are some of the signs that you may benefit from medication for a mood disorder? Okay. So again, this is not going to be an exhaustive list. These are just some of the most common ones that I see in women when my little kind of doctor brain says, I wonder if perhaps we need medications in this situation to help augment what we're doing in therapy and all the self-care things and all the good things that we do. That's one thing that I do want to say, and I'll expand on this more in next week's episode, but medications are never intended to be solo as treatment for mental illness. They're absolutely one piece of the treatment puzzle. And what I would even go so far as to say, they are often an adjunct, meaning they are an extra therapy that we're using to supplement what we're doing in therapy and taking care of ourselves in other ways. So by no means am I ever saying that if these signs apply to you, then you should go on medication and do nothing else. And so we'll chat a little bit more about that in the next episode. So the very first sign that I see a lot is that women will come to me and they are really working so hard on their mental health and they're just not feeling better, right? So a little story about my experience. If you've never heard my own personal mental health journey, then this might be news to you. And if you have, then maybe it's a bit of a recap. But so I had very severe postpartum anxiety disorder after the birth of my twins. And despite being a mental health professional at the time, I really didn't even recognize the signs in myself for close to probably 6 to 9 months. And so I was very, very sick with postpartum mood disorder before I realized what was going on. Now, as a physician, you can imagine, and then as a woman in today's day and age, when we're kind of conditioned to be very self-reliant and very self-competent and take care of things ourselves, I was initially very confident in my ability to quote unquote fix myself, right? Once I had identified the issue, I was confident if I just did all the right things that I could fix this myself and I wouldn't need medication. And it was almost one, it was a very perfectionistic sense of view, which I've learned now looking back, that that's what perfectionism tells us, that if we can just find the exact right fix, the exact right combination of things, that everything will be perfect. And so I recognize that now in myself. However, at the time I didn't. And so I thought that if I had just jumped into all the best self-help and mental health strategies I knew of, like exercising, meditating, doing yoga, journaling, all the things that are incredibly powerful, if I did all of those things every single day, I would fix myself. And for many people, if you do all of those things, you will quite likely help improve your mental health and considerably improve your symptoms. That is not to say that that won't happen. But for people who are doing all the things and are not feeling better, this could be a sign that medications might be an option for you or might be something that helps you feel better. So flashback to me, I'm like postpartum, probably 9 months with my twins, and I am up at 5 o'clock every single morning, meditating, journaling, reading, exercising, running regularly, doing all of the things, right? Quote unquote, all of the things. And I still felt awful. So I still had paralyzing anxious thoughts. I would still get stuck into worry spirals and have panic attacks. I was exceptionally irritable. My sleep was disrupted. All of these things were persisting despite all of my very hard work I was doing. I had even gone to therapy and really done some solid cognitive behavioral therapy strategies with an excellent therapist and still was feeling all of these symptoms. And so eventually I wisened up after I had some advice from a good friend and considered maybe that it was time to consider medications. And my own personal experience, I'm not saying this would be for everyone's personal experience, but mine was that trying a mood medication, an SSRI medication, made absolutely all the difference in my journey. It was within weeks that I felt like I was myself again. And so with this experience now, and I've seen so many women with similar experiences, if you're someone who is trying all the things, like you're really putting 110% into meditating and doing all the things that you think are really important, all the things that I talk about on the podcast, then, and you're still feeling pretty bad, then that just might be a sign that mood medications might be something to help augment you. At the end of the day, like, do we know a whole bunch about mood medications? Not really. Like, we know quite a bit about them, but not everything. And so it's safe to say that perhaps there is a chemical imbalance that is ultimately to blame if you're doing all of these things and still not feeling well. And that's what I basically figured out in myself, is that didn't matter how much I meditated or ran, my neurotransmitters were imbalanced and I needed some medication support. So that's sign number one. So if you're trying all of the things and you're still not feeling well, and you've really done all the things, like you're saying, like, no, I'm really trying and it still isn't enough, then it might just be something for you to consider. Okay. Following from that, the second sign would be that you've learned all those tools. So recall that I said I went to a bunch of therapy and I learned a bunch of tools, and I teach so many tools in my upcoming book, right? My book, You Are Not Your Anxiety, that's currently in pre-sale and available on Amazon June 1st, which is very exciting. I teach them in my Unoya Collective, which is my monthly mental health membership program for women. And I teach them to my clients in Unoya Medical. So all of these tools that we learn from therapy are wonderful if we can apply them. Okay. And so many women come to me saying, like, yeah, I got all the tools and I got them, I learned them, I know how to use them, but then I literally cannot overcome my anxiety when I need to use them, right? You're too anxious to use them. And this could be a sign that maybe medications are necessary to just help turn down. I often call it turning down the volume, right? So when you're very anxious or even very depressed, your brain is very loud. It's very chaotic. There's just a lot of thoughts. I often refer to it as just being very noisy. And so it can be really hard to apply strategies in the moment when your brain's very noisy. And so sometimes we just need a little bit of help to turn down the volume so that we can actually put the tools that we use in therapy into practice. And don't get me wrong, therapy is incredibly effective. I mean, I'm an MD psychotherapist. I run a mental health therapy clinic. So I obviously believe that therapy is absolutely vital in your journey, but not if you can't even calm yourself down to focus on it. Okay. So that's really, really important. So if you're feeling like that, that you're like, okay, I've got it. I know the tools, but my anxiety level is so high that I can't focus or control myself to use them, then potentially it's time to consider medication. The third sign that you could use some medications potentially for your mood disorder kind of follows from the previous point, but specifically if you are experiencing panic attacks as part of your anxiety disorder, This can sometimes be a sign that medications would be very effective for you. So not everyone who experiences anxiety and depression obviously experiences panic attacks. Now, a panic attack, most of us know what they are, but it's basically a sudden increase in anxiety intensity that is often accompanied by feelings of impending doom, fear for your life, fear that you're dying. A lot of powerful physical symptoms happen during panic attacks as well. So you get heart palpitations, your palms start sweating, you might get dizzy, have tingling hands, feel short of breath, these sorts of things. And panic attacks are just really dramatic expressions of your amygdala and your fight or flight response, which I kind of spoke about in last week's episode. Now, panic attacks can happen at any time. They're very distressing for people who experience them. And then when you start to have panic attacks and change your life to avoid panic attacks, this could be the sign of the development of a panic disorder. Okay. I'm going to do a whole other podcast at some point about panic attacks and the cycle of panic and what you can do to break the cycle and kind of reduce the incidence and frequency of panic attacks. But for the purposes of this episode, panic attacks are a sign that your anxiety has a large physical or physiological component and that you could potentially benefit even more from medications for mood disorder, because sometimes we need the medications to disrupt the panic cycle so that we can feel a little bit more in control. Panic attacks are so disabling and so terrifying that once the panic cycle begins, it can be very, very hard to get through it and to make improvements in the symptoms without some medication augmentation. Now, is this a sure and fast rule? 100% no. Nothing in this podcast is 100%, right? Like, I'm not saying, oh, you had one panic attack, you need meds. So if you're listening to this and you're already feeling anxiety about that, being like, oh my God, she's saying that's me, like, calm down. Totally may not be your situation. One panic attack does not make me slap you on meds right away, obviously. It's just one of those signs that if you're having them very frequently, or they're increasing, or they're very distressing to you, it's just something that you might want to consider, because again, it just helps us reduce that physical symptoms, those physiological activation that follows from the amygdala being activated, and can help us make progress with your therapy around your panic attacks if your physical symptoms are just slightly reduced. Okay. Moving right along, sign number 4. So there are many people who can walk around perfectly functional with their anxiety. And these people are often called, you know, they would refer to themselves as high functioning anxious people. And they have anxiety, but they don't necessarily change their life a lot to accommodate it, or their anxiety doesn't do a lot to change their day-to-day life. Okay. Ideally, this would be how everyone is, but obviously that's not the case. So if you're starting to change your life because of your anxiety, right? So if you're starting to avoid doing things or avoid going places, or, you know, completely changing your plans because of your anxiety, you're giving your anxiety quite a bit of power. And when this happens and we start avoiding things that make us anxious, we serve to reinforce anxiety. Now, this applies to any anxiety. So across the board, if you're an anxious person and you know what your trigger is and you listen to your anxiety and you avoid that trigger, you're going to serve to reinforce the anxiety about that trigger. So what is the sign? So the sign that medications might be helpful for you is if you're making big changes to your life because of your anxiety. If you're avoiding doing things because you absolutely know you're going to be so anxious and you can't manage it, then we should probably chat about whether reducing your anxiety would be helpful. Basically, what's happening is that it's starting to impact your function, right? And it's starting to become dysfunctional in the fact that your anxiety is kind of having more control over your life than you probably want it to. Now, again, this is not a surefire sign that you need to go on meds, but it is something that I see a lot in women. If I find them starting to change their life or change their schedule or avoid things significantly because they're like, oh, I can't possibly do that, I'm so anxious, then I say, your anxiety is very powerful and it might be helpful if we've, you know, exhausted our therapy options to consider medications and see what that will do for you. Okay, so that's sign number 4, if you're changing your life because of your anxiety. Okay, moving right along, sign number 5 is profound physical effects of your anxiety. Now, I spoke a little bit about the physical effects when I talked about panic attacks, and I'm not specifically speaking of those physical effects. I am talking about the more chronic symptoms of physical pain, such as headache or neck ache or muscle tension that might be going on if you are just having a lot of anxiety for a really long time. Okay, so physical symptoms such as headache, fatigue, muscle aches, those sorts of things are very common parts of anxiety disorders. Another really common thing that a lot of women have when they come to see me are gastrointestinal symptoms. So bloating and constipation and diarrhea, especially kind of the irritable bowel syndrome type of picture, can sometimes also be due to anxiety. And this makes sense because basically the same serotonin receptors that are in our brains are also in our guts. And so if we're feeling very anxious, then sometimes we end up having diarrhea or constipation related to the same serotonin levels kind of being low. And so there's lots of other connections between our mind and our gut that's what I talk about a lot when I talk about mood and food and why it's so important to eat well, to keep your mood well. But IBS or abdominal symptoms are definitely one of the more common physical effects that I see in patients with anxiety. And these are really common, but they tend to be signs of more significantly severe mental illness. So for example, if you just have kind of like baseline, not super severe, mild to moderate anxiety, you might have intermittent symptoms of fatigue and headache, but they won't be like a daily constant thing, right? So if you're experiencing physical symptoms, like I've spoken about now, like daily, day in, day out for weeks on end, this tells me that your anxiety is quite high and it's been that way for quite a long time. And it's starting to have some physical impacts on your health. Okay. So this is an important sign to just be mindful of and to consider, how long do I really want this to be happening? And am I doing everything that I can to help reduce my anxiety, right, outside of medications? And if you are doing that, is there, you know, an opportunity for you to discuss medications or consider them as part of your treatment puzzle? Okay, so physical symptoms are a big one. What follows from physical symptoms actually, or kind of in the same category, is insomnia. Okay, so I see sleep disruption in 99% of the women whose anxiety is uncontrolled. In fact, sometimes it's the only symptom that they really come complaining about. My sleep is suffering. And often I will ask them, well, how anxious do you feel? And sometimes they don't really think that they're anxious, but then when we dive in, they're like, wow, actually, I'm really anxious all the time. And insomnia, not all the time, because it can also be just chronic and due to the chronic insomnia cycle. Stay tuned for a podcast for that too. But insomnia related to anxiety often looks like difficulty falling asleep, right? Laying in bed, ruminating, worrying about all sorts of things. You may wake frequently throughout the night or your sleep is very broken. And then when you do wake up, you have a hard time again falling back to sleep. Now, this is just the definition of insomnia, but it is these characteristics specifically are more common in women who have untreated anxiety. Now, just because you have insomnia and anxiety doesn't mean you need meds. It just may be that that's another physical symptom that if you're now your sleep is also suffering during your anxiety and, you know, you've been doing a lot to try to manage it, but your sleep is really terrible. This is where considering medications might be more helpful. Okay. So just a final point about physical symptoms. Sign number 6 is concentration and good task completion. So if you are struggling to concentrate or complete tasks, it can sometimes be a sign that your noise in your brain, like I spoke about before, is just really, really high. So an inability to control racing thoughts, constantly ruminating or overthinking, and mental fogginess are common complaints from my patients with anxiety and depression. Okay. Many of my patients will feel like very tense, very mentally exhausted. They might feel very fatigued or they might feel very elevated with anxiety. It depends on your particular experience, but specifically, many of my clients don't really notice that their concentration was quite bad until they go on medications. So it's kind of like one of those experiences where you're like, wow, I didn't really know how bad that was until it wasn't so bad. And this is something that I see pretty common when it comes to concentration after women start on medications for anxiety. Like they didn't even realize they couldn't complete tasks or that they were super distractible and that they were struggling to concentrate. And then they go on medications and now all of a sudden they're like, wow, like I can focus again. I can concentrate again. And this is such a beautiful benefit of mood medications if you're really struggling with your mental health, because in order to improve your mental health, you really do have to be able to organize yourself and concentrate and get tasks completed so that you can take care of yourself well, so that you can make appointments to see your physician and your therapist. These are all really important requirements that we need. When we struggle to concentrate and complete tasks, we often also get really overwhelmed in our day-to-day life, and that only further serves to worsen our mood, right? And worsen our anxiety. So if you're really struggling to concentrate or complete tasks, sometimes, of course, we need to rule out any kind of attentional difficulty like ADHD or ADD, and that can be done, again, with a qualified mental health professional, but sometimes it could just be a sign that your anxiety is really out of control or your depression is really out of control, and potentially medications would be helpful for you. Okay. So if you've noticed that your productivity isn't really what it used to be, and you can't seem to follow through on a task because your brain is very noisy and doesn't seem to want to ever shut up, you might want to consider medications. Okay. The seventh sign and the final sign that I'll talk about in this podcast is probably the most important one. Okay. So if you are very anxious or very depressed and you are having thoughts of hurting yourself or suicidal thoughts, or even thoughts that I would describe as passive escape thoughts, okay? Passive escape thoughts refer to things like, I just wish I could get in my car and drive away. I just wish I wasn't in my life anymore. This may not be that you're actually expressing wanting to die per se, but it's just an expression that you are basically at your skills breakdown point or your mental breakdown point where you cannot do anymore. Like you're basically, it's your brain saying, I am tapping out. I don't know what else to do. I am so overwhelmed with my mental health, or I'm so overwhelmed with my life. I don't know what to do. Okay. These are very important thoughts to identify, and they are so important to talk to someone about. Okay. So it is more common than you would think to experience passive thoughts of wanting to escape your life or not be here, right, anymore when you struggle with a mood disorder. It's very, very, very common. Okay. Simply having those thoughts doesn't mean you're going to act on them, but it absolutely, if you are having them, it is 100% a sign that you should 100%, I can't emphasize that enough, be getting support. Okay. Reaching out to a qualified mental health professional, whether it's a crisis hotline, going to your emergency department, contacting a mental health professional in your area, going to see your family doctor, calling your mental health crisis line locally, whatever it is, if you're having these thoughts, it's not because I think you're necessarily going to commit suicide or hurt yourself, but these are a sign that you're reaching a point of overwhelm and exhaustion, and it's a sign of severe mental illness. Okay. It's a sign that it might be very, very helpful for you to consider starting medications, and you absolutely have to get some help. Okay. If you are listening to this and you've experienced thoughts like these before, it is okay. I know they are very scary, but you are not alone, and there is absolutely ways that we can help you feel better. So if you're listening to this podcast and you are feeling, oh my God, like she is talking to me, please reach out to someone and get some support. Okay. You will feel better. You can feel better. There is hope. These thoughts are red flag features that it's time to get some medical advice or some mental health support urgently. Okay. These are symptoms that your mood disorder is not under control. Okay. So this is one of the biggest and scariest things when it comes to mental health, obviously, is that some of us, eventually our mood disorder is so severe that we actually think we would be better off not being here. And even if they're not those true suicidal wanting to die thoughts, those thoughts are terrifying and they are very real when you have them. And so I want you to know that, like I said, you're not alone. There is hope. Please reach out and get support. In the notes for this podcast, I will also include the direct lines to the Canada and the USA suicide and distress hotlines. So please, please, please know that you're you can be helped. Your life is worth living if you are listening to this, and you absolutely should get the support that you need. Okay. But if your mood disorder has reached the level of passive or active suicidal thoughts, your mood disorder has the greatest potential for treatment with mood medications. If you are a moderately severe mental health patient, for example, you have moderately severe anxiety or depression, you are most likely to get the most benefit from medications. So this is our seventh and most important sign that I wanted to share in this podcast. And I know it's kind of ending it on somewhat of a somber note, but incredibly important. So just to review the seven signs that mood medications might be something for you to consider if you are struggling with anxiety and depression are: you've tried everything or are trying all the things, but you're still not feeling well. You have learned the tools to manage your anxiety, but you're too anxious or too depressed to put them into practice. You are experiencing panic attacks. You're changing your life or making big adjustments to your life to accommodate your anxiety. You're feeling the physical effects chronically of your anxiety. You're struggling to concentrate or complete tasks, or you're having any thoughts of self-harm or suicide. I hope this has been a helpful podcast. Like I shared, next week I'm going to be diving into some of the most common misconceptions that I hear from patients when I talk to them about mood medications. If you haven't yet, you should absolutely check out my new book, which is currently available in pre-sale. That is called You Are Not Your Anxiety: How to Stop Being an Anxious, People-Pleasing Mess. I do dive into medications a little bit in that book as well. And I also cover a host of other strategies and tools you can use to get your anxiety under control once and for all, get some amazing firm boundaries, stop being a people pleaser, and really start to live the life that you want to live. I am super excited for this book to launch. It is going to be available on Amazon on June 1st. And if you are on Facebook, I would absolutely love for you to join us in the You've Got This Mama Celebration Pod Facebook group for the live book launch on June 1st. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Mind Over Motherhood. If you have any questions or comments about this episode, as always, please don't hesitate to let me know by sending me a message on Instagram at Carly Crew or via email at hello@unoyamedical.ca. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll catch you next time. Thank you so much for listening to Mind Over Motherhood. If you love this episode, it would mean the world to me if you could take a screenshot, tag me, and share it on your socials so I know that you're listening. If you have questions or concerns about anything I discussed in this episode or have ideas for new episodes, please reach out to me. I would love to hear from you. Catch you next time.
You're listening to Mind Over Motherhood.